And we've been up at Bloomington, Dean Rose's place. Over 100 former missionaries, Papua New Guinea missionaries to Papua New Guinea and MKs were joining together, so it's been a delight to be up there as well. And up there they have a gas bottle, just like Papua New Guinea, out when you go out to the outstations. And if you want to have church, they pound the, you know, these gas cylinders, you know, like for propane tanks, and that's a call to church. You know, here in the States we have a bell, and I brought a conch shell. That's what they use in Fiji to tell people it's time to come to church. Now I don't play an instrument. I'll try to play this one. I do. I knew there was something that I liked about Warren. You know, Warren and I have been good friends, and I finally discovered tonight he plays a tuba, and I played a tuba when I was in high school, long, long, long time ago. So that was the connection. Anyway, let me see. We'll start, see if we can get called to worship here tonight. All right, it's time to begin service. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, didn't know I was musical, did you? Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. I don't know if I'm the first one to represent Arms Around the World here. Have you had anybody else here? The Fishes or anybody come by? Okay, so I'm not the first one then. Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 3. Let brotherly love continue. We could spend the whole time right on there, couldn't we? Let brotherly love continue at home, in school, and on the workplace, down at Old Paths and Country Pine. Let love, brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for whereby some have entertained angels unawares. Verse 3 is the one that I especially want to bring you to your attention. Remember them that are in bonds. In other words, remember those that are in prison. As bound with them, as though you were in prison with them. And them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. James, would you pray with us tonight? I need your help, Lord. Oh, have your way, Lord. Amen. I'm going to go several different directions tonight, and so you fasten your seat belts. First of all, just let me mention, probably most of you, since it's printed here, get to see the newsletter, Arms Around the World. If you'd like to get it personally, sign up back there. If you'd like to get the Wednesday morning, the AAW Wednesday morning prayer bulletin, put your email address down, and we try to send out a prayer request as well as a little devotional. So we'd love to include you on the list. We have 7 missionary affiliates now working with Arms Around the World. Arms Around the World is a totally different concept than most missionary organizations. It's been in existence 9 years now, and we're really not a sending organization in the traditional sense. We're more of a missionary help organization, like Mission Helps. And those who choose to work under Arms Around the World, we call them missionary affiliates. They have a voice in the organization, and they can work with any missionary organization they choose to work with or work independent, however the Lord leads them. We're simply a channel through which that they can work to fulfill what God's called them to do. As I mentioned, we have 7 affiliates, and our newest affiliate is a young man by the name of Seth Stevenson. And he would have been here 3 years ago singing in the choir. And he feels like the Lord has laid upon his heart Christian radio. And fact, for a year he put together for us out at Mitchell, at the Faith Missionary Church, a radio program called Faith in Focus. And then he did his internship up in Blood Vein, Canada, working with David Russell, and had the privilege of helping him put together 2.5 hours of religious broadcasting on a Native American station. Right now he's in Wisconsin, to Milwaukee, and he spent some time at VCY America, and now the opportunity has come for him to go to Kentucky Mountain Bible Institute. I guess it's college now. They have a Holiness AM and FM station, and he's going to be working into the program manager. We'll be putting together, they especially want someone to develop Holiness broadcast Bible teaching materials, like something like Back to the Bible, you know, that's every day. And there's a real dearth of Holiness radio programs. We've let the Calvinists pretty well capture the radio waves, and that shouldn't be. We have a message the world needs to proclaim. And it's a missionary position. In other words, he has to raise his support. And so he's chose to work under arms around the world. And then Randy and Sharona Dimmitt, they were missionaries out in Montezuma. Right now he's pastoring in North Carolina, pastoring a Bible Methodist church, but feels like the Lord's calling him to go and teach at the specific Bible college in Papua New Guinea. So we're excited about that. And then you mentioned the William and Esther Fish, who were here. And they are on the island of Epi in Vanuatu, South Pacific. Tremendous opportunities in Vanuatu. The message of holiness never really reached Vanuatu. And I believe Vanuatu is in the place that Papua New Guinea was a number of years ago. They're ready for the message of holiness. And so tremendous opportunities. Pray for the Fishes. About a month ago, they both had a strange virus. And I think Brother Fish is still struggling with that a little bit. So remember them. Then Larry and Mary Graybill were missionaries in Nigeria. And for a while were working with an indigenous church in Nigeria and with a Bible college in Calabar. And now they are developing children's materials, holiness children's materials. If you're looking for some materials there, pick up a newsletter and their phone number's there, and check out what they're working on. And then Jonathan and Anna Lucas are working with Mission Helps. Jonathan is a part of the team that goes to various mission organizations, mission stations, and to help out. Like my brother back here, we went to New Guinea together, didn't we? And he makes about 3 or 4 mission trips each year. My son, Jason and Joanna, are getting ready to go back to Ukraine. And that's a marvelous story in itself. Some of you may remember 10 years ago they were involved in a very serious car accident in Canada. They're very fortunate to be here. And they went to the Ukraine, but because of Joanna's medical problems, they had to come back. And she was on over $800 worth of medicine each month, and it kept them from going back to the field. And they've been praying and seeking the Lord, and now she's totally off of her medicine. And so they have their tickets to go back to Ukraine October the 13th. And so I'm excited about that. Let me kind of digress a little bit and share a story with you to let you know that God works in miraculous and in different ways than sometimes we expect. And most of you know, of course, you're familiar with the Drummonds there at Nova Odessa. Jason and them, we're working with them. And Brother Drummond told him that you need to raise at least $2,500 a month to make it in Ukraine. Gas is $6 a gallon, and prices is just going through the roof over there. And so they don't have too much longer. About 3 weeks ago, they were down in Alabama and ready to have a missionary service, and they have quite a ways to go to raise their support. And Jason was asking the Lord for that particular service to give him three faith shares a month. And he called me and I said, well, I'll pray with you. So the next morning I called him. I said, Jason, how many shares did you get? He said, I got zero. Now, what would that do for your faith? Well, that night he went out to talk to the Lord about it and poured out his soul to the Lord and went back over his call and made sure, you know, Lord, are you really calling us? And the Lord impressed. He was about 1 o'clock in the morning. He was walking back and forth in front of a church there in Alabama someplace. And the Lord impressed him and said, are you willing to go to the Ukraine and trust me even if you don't get one more faith share? And Jason said, well, Lord, if I really know it's you, I'm willing to go. And about that time, a police car came. There were two male officers, one female officer. They wanted to know what he was out there at 1 o'clock in the morning stalking this church. And he said, well, I'm praying. And they did a background check on him. And they said, well, what are you praying about? Well, he said, I'm struggling with my faith a little bit. And he shared with him how they're trying to raise support to go to Ukraine. And God used that encounter. They begin to open up to Jason about their own spiritual needs and ask Jason to pray for them. Can you imagine? Three police officers at 1 o'clock in the morning talking to this guy stalking this church, asking them to pray for them. And Jason assured them that he would, and I think he did pray for them, and he gave them prayer cards, and they promised to support him in the Ukraine. Praise the Lord. So the Lord, you know, sometimes it's amazing how the Lord works. We think we've got it all figured out how it has to happen, and then the Lord does an end run around us and lets us know that he has everything under control and that he's promised to be there and to support. Praise the Lord. Then, by the way, the next night he got his three shares. All right. And then Linda and I, the Lord's opened the door to prison ministry. I'm going to be sharing that, what the Lord's doing in the prisons. And I don't know how many of you have been praying for my wife, Linda. Probably most of you know that she had surgery, had breast cancer, and process right now is in chemo. She was stage 3, and I think the doctors thought that it had already spread through her whole body. But we praise the Lord that it hadn't. But she's going through some kind of rough time. So if you think about it, appreciate your prayers. The Lord knows why he allows the things into our lives that he does. But he's good. And all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you believe that? Praise the Lord. Nothing happens by mistake. Well, now, as I mentioned, I'm going to go several different directions to tell you how the Lord has opened the door for prison ministry for us right now. I want to back up and share a testimony with you to kind of give you an idea why the Lord's opened this door. I didn't grow up in a holiness home. 5 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord in a Youth for Christ meeting. And I felt like the Lord was calling me to some type of Christian work at that time. And it wasn't until I was 17 years old that I first met the holiness people. And my first impression is, what have I got myself into? I have never seen people look like those people look or act like those people act. But you know, they had something that I didn't have. And they shouted and they praised God and I sensed God's presence upon them. And it made me, a teenager, hungry for what they had. You know something? Still true today. It's as we spend time with God and we have God's presence that people will become hungry for what we have. And so that's when I heard the message of holiness and I was convinced that that's what I needed as a teenager. I was struggling up and down and began to seek God for holiness. Some of you know Larry Smith, the editor of God's Revivalist. He kind of took me under his wing and he took me up to New York and kept seeking all summer. And in an all-night prayer meeting, the Lord sanctified me. And I've never been the same. And I'm convinced then and convinced now it's still the message that the world needs to hear, and we need to tell them. We need to share it. It's too good to keep to ourselves, too good to keep inside the walls of the church when there's a lost and dying world that needs to know that God has a complete, total plan of redemption to take care of the sin problems in our hearts. Praise God. Well, I came back and graduated from high school and felt like the Lord was calling me, and I decided to go to school, and I didn't know where to go, and filled out an application and paid my registration fee to go to Bob Jones University, and they'd accepted me. And I'm not putting down Bob Jones University, but I began to feel like I'd lose my soul if I'd go there. God began to burden my heart to go to a little holiness Bible school in Upper State, New York. Later I found out that two saints, one in Buffalo and one in Nyack, God burdened their hearts to pray for me, that I should come to that little school. You know, God knows where He wants us, when He wants us. Because that's where I met my wife. She was my college professor. I married my college professor, guys. She gave me the poorest grade I got in college. But anyway, she went on to Papua New Guinea, and I came back to Nebraska. I'm getting ahead of my story. The most important part of what I want to tell you is while I was there in Bible college, I was praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, is it pastor or teacher or what? Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord impressed me. I was 19 years old. You get the training that I want you to get, and I will open the door. And that's been my agreement with the Lord ever since I was 19 years old, never dreaming that the Lord would open all the different doors that He has. It's been an adventure to serve God. I mean that. It's been exciting. I still have a young heart, but my body's falling apart. But never dreamed that the Lord would give me the opportunity to work in Christian schools and then go into missions and then work with international students and now work with prisoners. But I came back to Nebraska and was working with Larry Smith. We started the John Fletcher Bible College and started the John Fletcher Christian Academy. And one night, Marilyn and I were talking about New Guinea for some reason. It's just like the Lord turned a light bulb on. And we knew that God was calling us to go as missionaries. And I never even considered being a missionary. I don't fit the stereotype of a missionary. Still don't. But the Lord called. But I told Marilyn, Jason was 5, Stephanie was 2. They were in bed. And I said, well, don't tell Jason and Stephanie. We need to keep praying, make sure this is really the Lord speaking to us, because here I'm principal of this Christian school out here, and Jason will tell everybody, and that'll really throw a wrench in the machinery. The next morning, Jason was all excited. He said, Mommy, Mommy, we're moving away! And he described a house by a cliff. Tears began to run down Marilyn's face, because we knew that not only had God spoken to us, but had spoken to our 5-year-old son as well. And when we went to Papua New Guinea, we lived in the house that God showed Jason in his dream at 5 years old. Isn't God good? I'm glad the Lord was real clear on that's where we were supposed to be, because I reminded the Lord that He called us to New Guinea many times when I was over there. And so we spent 10 years in Papua New Guinea. We came back in 1990, had the privilege of going down to teach 2 years at Independence Bible School. And then the Lord called us to Ukraine. It was a privilege to be a part of the team to set up the Kyiv Wesley Bible College. Had a chance to work with James Brother Steve for a while there. And then when we came back, of course, my first wife, Marilyn, died and was buried in Papua New Guinea. Came back and married Linda. That's a whole story in itself. And we got to Ukraine, and she had a heart attack. I'm hard on my wives for some reason. I don't know. And that brought us back, and we went back to Kansas to teach 2 more years at Independence Bible School. And I tell you that because one of the students, one of the young men that was in my class before, was in jail. And so I guess I didn't do a very good job of teaching him. So I went to see him, and while I was there, I asked those in charge, does anybody come in and have service with these guys? They said, we used to have someone, but they don't come in. anymore. And I asked, I said, well, could I come in and have service? And they said, yes. And so I went in Thursday nights and Sunday afternoons. And they had a very unique system there. They had 8 different pods where our prisoners were. And they would ask if anybody in the pod wanted to have a service, church. If one person said yes, they'd put me in the pod and lock the door and walk away and come back in 20 minutes. And they all had church. I had a captive audience. I enjoyed that. I was pretty tired, though, after 6 to 8 services, 20 minutes apiece. But that's what started the prison ministry. Now, before I go on and tell you about the first person that the Lord allowed me to win to Christ, I want to back up and tell you some more stories. First of all, I want to tell you about this young man. His name is Sergei Bogomazuk. And Sergei Bogomazuk is a jailbird. He was with them, worked with the mafia in Ukraine. Spent time in prison. Got out, and one of our students at the Kiev Wesley Bible College of Vasily witnessed to him in the elevator. Making a long story short, Sergei gave his heart to the Lord and became a student at the Kiev Wesley Bible College. For a while, I didn't know this, but they called our church the Mafia Church because people bring guns to church. I'm glad I didn't know it. I'd probably got scared. But anyway, Sergei gave his heart to the Lord, became a student, and just to show you that what God can do, how He can change lives, and that's the point I want to get across. Don't ever write somebody off. God specializes in putting the broken pieces of people's lives together. Sergei was walking along the street. It was February. We'd had a snowstorm, and there was a police car stuck in a snowdrift. And he walked up, and he stuck his head in the windows. I used to hate you guys! But he said, God saved me, and since the Lord saved me, I'll push you out of the snowdrift. Now that's change. Praise the Lord. Would you believe Sergei Bogomazuk is now president of the Kiev Wesley Bible College. From a jailbird to college president. God still changes lives, doesn't he? Praise the Lord. All right. Here's another young man I want to tell you about. His name is Chad. Now, Chad got saved at Mitchell. He was in jail in Mitchell before I went to Mitchell. He grew up Catholic. After he got out of jail, they stole some sporting good things, and the police were after him, and he made his flight to Ohio. And I believe it was Cleveland. He had a bad LSD trip, and he thought he was in hell. And he screamed, and he yelled, and his buddies, if they hadn't have restrained him, probably would have got run over by traffic. He felt like that he'd passed the line. There was no hope for him. They went to Phoenix, and while in Phoenix, God began to deal with him, and he felt like he needed to come back to Mitchell, South Dakota, to take care of things. He got back to Mitchell, found out they didn't have a warrant out for his arrest. During, it was, I don't know how many have been through Mitchell and seen the Corn Palace, but they have this big celebration, Corn Palace Festival, and he was downtown. And one of our instructors at the Faith Bible School, a fellow by the name of James Sampson, I don't know if anybody, any of you know him, he felt like God impressed him to go downtown during the festival. Would you be willing to go down to a fair, a festival, to evangelize, to pass out tracts? That's what he did. And he gave this young man a Bible tract. His name and telephone number were on the back of it. And Chad called Brother Sampson and asked him some questions. And make a long story short, they begin to meet for Bible study with him and some of the other students there at the Bible school. About 2 weeks later, Chad gave his heart to the Lord. God made a wonderful change in his life. A year later, he went to Peru on a mission trip. Met his future wife, married the daughter of a holiness preacher. And now Chad is working at the Faith Missionary Church at Sioux City, Iowa, and is a real soul winner, and reaching out and doing his best to win souls for Christ. Chad's been helped me different times, prison ministry, sharing his testimony. In fact, a year ago, his testimony was went nationwide on Unshackled. Chad Klunder. What would have happened if James Sampson hadn't have given him that Bible tract? What about you? Who does God want you to touch? One of the things tonight is not just share what the Lord is doing in prison ministry, but I want to challenge you. There's a job for all of us to do. There's people that God wants you to touch. Sometimes we get this idea of evangelism is what we do to somebody. You know, we try to get our opinion across. Well, that drives people away. There's three things that are involved if you're going to be effective in winning people to Jesus. Number one is you need to let people know that you love them and care about them. You have to earn the right to be heard. Now I realize God uses many methods, but most of the time it takes some time to build a relationship with people, to make a friend, to go spend some time with that person, to give a listening ear. Now we're so independent-minded, we kind of cherish our time, don't we? It's hard for us to get out of our comfort zone. It's hard for us to, you know, we've come to church three times a week, we've done our religious duties, but there's a lost world that's dying and going to hell. Do you know that? There's people right here in southern Indiana that you need to reach. I don't know who they are. I don't know who it is that God wants you to reach. But every one of you who claim to know Jesus as your Savior, there's people that you need to reach. I want to ask you a question. Every week, do you pray? Every day do you pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to touch somebody for you. Give me an opportunity, Lord, to say something that will point somebody to you. Do you do that? You'll be surprised. If you look for opportunities, God will give them to you. I'm always amazed. Sometimes I don't think, and some days I forget to pray that way. But I'm amazed at the times when I pray, Lord, give me an opportunity today, the opportunities that God gives me. It's exciting. You're missing out on some real excitement of being used, being the hands and feet of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Number two, you need to let people know that Jesus loves them and Jesus cares for them. And number three, you need to find the hurting area in people's lives and apply God's Word to that hurting area. It's the Word of God. It's God's truth that sets people free. It's not our opinions, but it's God's Word. And if you'll use those three methods or those three things, you can make a difference. Amen? That's kind of weak. Amen? Still a little weak. But we need to be going out. We need to be reaching out. All right. Back to independence. This is the first young man that the Lord gave me the privilege of leading to the Lord there in prison there in Kansas. His name is Aaron. He's been given life. He's in maximum security prison in Lansing, Kansas now. His family has totally disowned him. There's a little book I started to kind of keep a record of some of the ones that I'm working with, and there's some excerpts of his letter. Again and again, I'm getting letters. Thank you for being my friend. Thank you for leading me to the Lord. Nobody else cares. Thank you for not giving up on me. You'd be surprised. Every individual, I visit a lot of inmates, especially I find it effective talking to them one-on-one, going and visiting them. And I always finish every visitation with prayer. I always tell them, I want you to know Jesus loves you. I want you to know I love you too. You would be surprised, grown men, who tears begin to run down their face. Nobody's ever told them in their entire life that somebody loved them. Can you imagine that? Most of us here have grown up in Christian homes. We have a wonderful heritage. There's a lot of people out there that have nothing. I visit inmates in the state penitentiary in South Dakota that I'm the first one to ever visit them in years. It's sad. There's so many needs. There's so many hurting people. If somehow the Lord can help us to know where they are and to build bridges to them. So pray for Aaron when you think about it. and that God will continue to help him and lead him in the way that he should go. All right. When we went to Mitchell, they already had a prison ministry there. It's kind of a regional county jail, several counties. And I was put in charge of that. I'm responsible for the Sunday services for both men and women there. And this is one young man that gave his heart to the Lord there at Mitchell. His name is Cody. And Cody, when he gave his heart to the Lord, he was on fire for God. And he touched a lot of lives there in Mitchell. And I wish I had time to read a number of excerpts of letters that I get. One of the things that I'm doing, by the way, is not only prison ministry, but is writing to inmates. I'm writing over 100 inmates every month. Not just South Dakota, but I get letters from different, would you write so-and-so? And that's a tremendous ministry, and I've got, gobs and gobs of letters. But just let me read, this is just this particular letter from Cody. By the way, Cody's out now and he's very active in a church south of Mitchell. He lives about an hour south of Mitchell. This is what he wrote. But it kind of gives you an idea where some of them are coming from. I never realized just how bitter I am towards my dad and Lori. It seems I quite often play that tape they recorded in my head. The tape that says, I only love you because you're my son, otherwise I hate you and I can't stand you. That one is from my father. My ex-stepmom's tape will often play reminding me of just how worthless I am and how I will never be of any value to anyone I meet or get close to. She would often remind me that my own dad didn't want anything to do with me. I was very emotionally and physically abused, and they were always putting me down, always criticizing me, always reminding me just how stupid I was. But with God's Word and the Holy Spirit working in me today, I am learning how to let that misinformation go in one ear and out the other. That's probably good advice for all of us, isn't it? Did he whisper anything in your ear today? He's an accuser of the brethren. He tells us all kinds of things. What are you going to do with it? You going to let him sit on your shoulder and whisper things that you shouldn't listen to? Or are you going to look to God? I am constantly reminding myself that I am made in the image of God. I remind myself that He has crowned me with glory and honor and that I am God's own masterpiece. I no longer let anyone play games with my mind, letting Satan deceive me into thinking that my value with God has diminished. That's another good one. He's preaching a sermon tonight. Do you realize how important you are in God's eyes? Every one of us are of great value. God loves us. God has a purpose. God has a plan. And the devil will tell you, say, there's no hope. Just, well, has he ever tempted you to throw in the towel and quit and just, oh, I just struggle with my problems and all these difficulties. I don't think there's any hope for me. Devil ever tell anybody that? Well, we need to tell him to go back where he belongs. I constantly remind myself that I'm in the image of God. I remind myself that He's crowned me with glory and honor, that I am God's own masterpiece. I no longer let anybody play with my mind, letting Satan deceive me into thinking that my value with God is diminished. My faith will help me overcome my obstacles and will allow me to reach new levels of victory. Psalm 60:12, with God we will gain the victory and we will trample down our enemies. I have to stay focused on my Heavenly Father and not my problems. That's another good message. Can you say amen? Okay, good. It is my faith that can turn any situation around. By my believing will bring me healing. By keeping my head up, by keeping my faith and believing in God, I will not be dependent on someone else to encourage me or to get me out of trouble. That's another good message. I will no longer live in weakness or disappointment. I'm making a decision to be a believer. I tell those I work with in prison, I said, many of them have given their heart to the Lord, but I tell them it's just the beginning. The choice that you've made today, every day, is a choice. I choose. Every day, we've got to put our will into it. I choose to serve God. I choose to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you and I have got to make the same decisions every day. I choose to follow God. Praise God. I am taking charge of my life through Jesus Christ and deciding no matter what comes to me, I believe in God. I'm going to have a positive outlook on my life. I truly believe God is blessing me with His Word and I can be a blessing to others. That's another message. Are you being a blessing to anybody? A channel through which God can flow? Did you touch somebody's life this week? I'll say amen or ouch, one of the two. All right. I truly believe that God is blessing me with His Word to be a blessing to the others. God is blessing me by showing me that He didn't intend me to be a drunk or a drinker, hot-tempered or impatient man. God has opened my eyes and is showing me that He has intended me to be a loving, joyful, gentle, self-controlled, patient husband and father. God has showed me through His Word that He's blessed me with a beautiful, loving wife and a good-looking, handsome little boy to be my son the rest of my life. That's a good attitude. I can now say that I see myself as God sees me, as a sinner, but as an overcomer. I now know that God wants to use me in spite of my weakness to shine His light. If God chose to use only perfect people, then He'd have none to use at all. Cody, praise the Lord. God's changing lives. I was down at Mark Ranke's this morning and was there this afternoon, and Galvino gave me a call, wanted to check up on me, see how I was doing. Galvino gave his heart to the Lord in Mitchell. 3 o'clock in the morning, he climbed out of his bunk and wept and repented and got to God. I'll never forget his last service there in Mitchell. He wrote a scripture verse out for everyone that came to church, and I don't think there was a dry eye in that service. And right now we're working with Galvino. His wife's been in jail. He's got a pretty big hole, financial hole, to dig out of, and he's been struggling. And we've been having Bible study with him each week. He comes to the Holiness Church there, and God's working his life. He's fallen off the bandwagon once. His problem is drinking. What, somebody falls off the bandwagon, you give up on them, you quit? No. Did Jesus give up on you? Anybody here fail the Lord? Aren't you glad we serve a God of a second, third chance, and probably many chances? God loves, He's not willing that any of us here should perish. And He's not willing those out there should perish either. Pray for Galvino when you think of it. Tremendous fellow, and the ties that he has the Holiness Church are very strong. I don't have a picture of Will tonight. Will's a young man. There's two young men especially that have been a real encouragement to me working in the penitentiary. I've gone through the training and am considered the same as a chaplain status. Can go into the penitentiaries in South Dakota anytime that I want to. Go back to where they are, go down on death row, wherever. I go in for Bible studies. I have the privilege of being in charge of some of the Protestant worship services at one of the prisons. And there I met a young man by the name of Will. He's 24 right now. In just a couple of weeks, he gets out of prison. When he was 16 years old, he grew up as a Methodist. He was at a youth camp. And there was a young man giving his testimony. And Will said somebody called his name audibly. Will! He looked around to see who was calling his name. He didn't see anybody. Second time. Will! He looked around. Couldn't see anybody. Third time, he heard this voice. He said, Will, it's time. And he realized God was speaking to him. And he went forward to the altar. A whole bunch of young people followed him. And God saved Will. And at 16 years old, God called Will to preach. He said the next year was the best year of his life. God really helped him. When he was 17, though, he was adopted, and his father got into an argument with him, and followed him to his bedroom and almost killed him, strangled him, left him unconscious in his bedroom. When Will regained consciousness, he began to question God. God, why did you let this happen? And as a result, Will turned his back on God. That's what got him into trouble. Drinking and drugs ended him up in prison. And even there, he was going away from God, experimented with Wicca for a while. But God kept after Will. And Will gave his heart back to the Lord, repented, had the privilege of working with him in Bible studies, visiting him. And God, again, has renewed the call to preach. And I talked to Robert England at Allegheny Wesleyan, and approval's been given. So hopefully second semester we'll send Will up to one of our Holiness Bible schools to train to be a Holiness preacher. Praise God. Pray for Will. One of the last people I want to talk about tonight is this young man by the name of Kelly. Kelly, 3 years ago, his was one of the top news stories in South Dakota. He's accused of killing a little toddler. I think he's innocent. I won't go into the reasons why I think he's innocent. But he was given life without parole. I tried to see him two or three times, but he refused to talk to me. He was at Mitchell. I think the third or fourth time he agreed to talk to me. And I don't remember how many times I visited him, and of course shared the gospel with him, and Kelly Boyer gave his heart to Jesus. That was a very crucial time. The Lord allowed my life to cross his at a very crucial time because he was planning on ending it all, committing suicide. You don't know whose life we're going to touch. I went and visited a young man by the name of Jason and later got a letter from him. He said, I was going to kill myself, and then you came and visited me. And I decided that I decided not to. And he's given his life to the Lord. You never know how the Lord's going to use you, when and where. But Kelly, as I said, was given life without parole. He's in the maximum security prison in Sioux Falls. And he feels like God's calling him to preach. Had the privilege of attending his baptism. And can you imagine? How could God call him to preach and he's been given life and without a chance of parole? He said, well, I've got my mission field right in front of me. And he's able to touch lives that I'll never be able to touch. Right there in the maximum security prison, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He's already preached his first sermon. Had the privilege of being there for that. I think he's preached five sermons now. And one time, several men came forward for prayer. And Kelly's got a very keen mind. He didn't finish high school, but got his GED, and he scored one of the highest scores that anybody that's taken the test in South Dakota. And so we've enrolled him in Aldersgate Extension Studies with Mark Byrd, and he's already completed two courses and got an A- and a B+, so he's real proud of himself. And next two courses are coming. And that's one of the reasons why I'm out doing some deputation, because that's not cheap. And trying to raise funds to help keep, you know, provide the materials for Kelly to go to school. I believe God's going to use this young man in a powerful, powerful way. And if I don't have an opportunity to touch any other lives, I will always thank God that the Lord allowed me to touch Kelly Boyer's life at a very critical time in his life. And again, I ask you the question, what happened if Brother Sampson hadn't been there for Chad? Or if I hadn't been there for Kelly? What about you? You never know whose life your path is going to cross somebody's life and the impact that it's going to have. 2 weeks ago, I helped this young man. His name is Andrew. And Andrew said, I'm getting out. He's from Rapid City. He said, do you know any good churches in Rapid City? You know, I'd like to go to a church where they won't hold it against me because I'm a felon. I said, I know just the church. There's a good Holiness church out there at Rapid City. Some of you might know Brent Woodard. And so I connected Andrew with the church, and Brother Woodard went and picked up Andrew. He was grew up a Catholic, and Brother Woodard, I talked to Brother Woodard later, and he asked Andrew, he said, well, what did you think of the service? He said, it was different. He said, I'll get used to it. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make a difference in people's lives and to share the truth with them, that God has a solution for the sin problem, and to share with them the message of holiness. Why don't you two young men come up here right now? I have some pledge cards. Anybody that wants to take one, I'd like to share with you what we're trying to do. We're out just a couple weeks. I have four projects. And the first one, last summer, we had the privilege of my children going back to Papua New Guinea. It had been 17 years since we were in Papua New Guinea. And that's a whole story in itself, what God's doing. There's over 600 holiness churches in Papua New Guinea. And at the Pacific Bible College, and there's a picture of it, there's about 75 students at the Pacific Bible College. And their library, they are using their library to the place that the books are falling apart. Right now there's 40 containers or 40 boxes of books at Gene Hood's church in Indianapolis. And there's more coming. And the New Guinea students are planning to get together and pack a container in December. And but we need some funds to send that container over. And so we need about $6,000. And the Lord's helped us, and we've raised over $4,000 of that, so only need $2,000 left towards that container. So we pass the cards out. I don't know what your plans are, but if you do give tonight, and if you want to direct it to one of these projects, be sure to fill out that card and let us know where you want your offering to go. And then I talked about Kelly, and we're trying to raise $2,000 for Kelly's education, and I got $50 this morning. I didn't have a chance to make another card, so $1,250 towards we'd like to try to raise for Kelly's education. So let us know. Put it down if you'd like to support that. And then we'd like to try to, I really need to raise some personal shares for personal support myself. It's expensive. And we're not not working any place. This is full time for me. And I'd like to raise 50 shares. Shares is $10 a month for a year. And I had one share this morning, so that's 39 shares that I'm still working on. And then 30 shares for the prison ministries, the cost of printing materials. We send out Bible study materials, give out Bibles, going to the various prisons. And we'd like to raise 30 shares there and have 24, actually 23 there. So it kind of gives you an idea what my goals and what my objectives are here. All right. Before I turn it back over to Brother Ziegler, I want to finish with one more story. I have in my hands an old Russian Bible. We spent 5 years in Ukraine as missionaries. And on one occasion, Dan Glick, who's over the missions department, GBS, he and I went on a crusade, did some crusades in southern Ukraine. And one of those crusades, I do not know why, but an elderly lady wanted me to have her old Russian Bible. And I bring that, and you might want to look at it if you want to see what Russian looks like. I bring this to tell you a story. During the time of the Soviet Union, Soviets used to confiscate Bibles. And after the Soviet Union collapsed, they found that there was this warehouse in Moscow that was full of Russian Bibles. And a missionary organization asked for permission to take those Bibles and redistribute them. And permission was granted. So they hired some young men to load a truck, and one of those young men was an atheist. And they were loading the truck, and all of a sudden they noticed that this young man had disappeared. And they went looking for him. And they found him in the back of the warehouse, and he had a Bible in his hand, and he was weeping. He just happened to open up a Bible, and inside was the name of his grandparents, who were believers. Now, you think that was coincidence? Now, the point I'm trying to make is God wants to use us. And as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to use us using God's Word, we can make a difference in the world in which we live. God wants us to be channels through which He can touch lives to make a difference. But we must use God's Word, and we must walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit. There's a job for all of us to do. I thank you very much for allowing me to come and unburden my heart with you tonight. And may the Lord bless you richly as you endeavor to expand God's kingdom right here in southern Indiana.